Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is not Dr. Rita Marie. This is Lynn DeBoer Johnson. You may have heard me occasionally on her show and once before when I did a great interview with Jane Guyette. And so today we have an equally great speaker with us. Her name is Diane Letchworth, and she is a certified gluten practitioner. She studied under Dr. Tom O'Brien. Among other things, she's a certified transformational nutrition coach and a certified Reiki master. She is also currently a student in Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo's Nutritional Endocrinology Practitioner Training Program, and she is also studying to be a master aromatherapist. So, welcome, Diane.
Thank you, Lynn.
Having a wonderful day today, right?
I really am. It's been very busy, but it's been very good and gluten-free.
And gluten-free. Woohoo! 100%, right?
As much as I can, unless something is hidden in there, and we can talk about that somewhere along the way, but I'm as careful as I can be, yes.
All right. Excellent. So I know a lot of people, you know, they hear the word gluten, 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 gluten. And if they hear Dr. Rita Marie, they hear no gluten, no gluten, no gluten. And so I think it might be really good for people to know what is gluten, what is this big, bad gluten?
Yeah, gluten is the protein in grains. It's actually... The really, really nasty, it's actually several proteins together. It's comprised of gliadin and glutenin, which are the two actual proteins, but it's become so common to just refer to gluten that, you know, most of us go along with that and just, you know, call the gluten the offending protein, because a lot of people who... you know about food allergies in general know that it seems to always be the protein, whether it's in milk, whether it's in eggs, it's always the protein that causes the problems. And in gluten, there are actually several different proteins and peptides that can be causing all those issues, but we pretty much generally, you know, just put it all under the umbrella of gluten, because like you said, everybody hears gluten, gluten, gluten. So, you know, it's easier.
Okay. Well, and, you know, that is important, just so we at least get that idea of what it is. So when somebody takes in gluten, can you kind of put us through some of that process that might create the problems that they might experience?
Sure. I heard a really, really great analogy, maybe I should say metaphor would be better, that Dr. Tom used recently, where he compared the intestinal lining. You know, the intestinal cells, those are some of the cells in the body that turn over very, very quickly. You can get a whole new intestinal lining just in a matter of, you know, a few days. And he was referring to that lining as sort of like a cheesecloth, and you have these little tiny holes in the cheesecloth, and only tiny, tiny amino acids are supposed to get through, and you know, that size we're talking about, that size molecule. And what happens is when you have something as ubiquitous in the diet as gluten, you have some toast for breakfast, you know, the cheesecloth maybe tears a little from the inflammation caused by, you know, the gliadin protein. And so you get a little tear in that cheesecloth and it heals. And then you have a sandwich for lunch and you get another little tear in that cheesecloth and it heals. And this goes on, you know, every meal. Generally people are having pasta, they're having bread, they're having cereal. And all of these things build up. Everybody reacts to it to some degree. It just depends on celiac disease and all those sorts of things, how strongly you react and how long it takes for this to build up to where it gets to the point where all of a sudden you're not healing anymore. Those tears get bigger, and then you've got larger macromolecules getting through. You've got the peptides getting through instead of just the amino acids. They don't get broken down. And those are the ones that cause all the trouble, and that's because your immune system is trying to protect you. Your immune system sees this larger molecule, and it goes, wait, that's not an amino acid. This is something bad. And it goes on the attack, and that's where the problem is. And they've done testing where I think it was a test Dr. Tom O'Brien referred to at Harvard, that whether you have celiac disease, gluten sensitivity, or no known problems at all, everybody reacts to the gluten. It just has a different effect depending on your genetics, you know, how many environmental triggers you're exposed to, all sorts of things like that. But there is nobody in any of those three categories that it didn't affect to some degree or other.
Could you say what those three categories are one more time?
Sure. There was one group that actually had diagnosed celiac disease, and the second group were people who were considered gluten sensitive, which is, you know, not as severe or far gone, maybe, I guess would be a good way to put it, as celiac disease. And the other group, I was expecting him to say people with a wheat allergy, but these were people who were not diagnosed with celiac disease, gluten sensitivity, or anything like that. People who were, you know, allegedly had no gluten issues, and yet they still, you know, had a reaction. It just, in their case, it wasn't enough to be triggering the autoimmune response yet.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Why do you think that everybody reacts to gluten? And what are some of the ways that people react to that? Because I've never heard that everybody reacts to gluten in some form or another. So,
yeah, that was news to me as well, because it was like, whoa, wait a minute, you mean everybody? And part of it is because of that inflammation. It eventually becomes a loss of oral tolerance. You get exposed to it so many times. And some of the theories are that it's got to do with that we have more toxic exposures now. We're exposed to more chemical toxins. We're exposed to more toxins in the food, you know, like the pesticides and the herbicides and things like that. And so the loss of oral tolerance is happening earlier and building up more quickly. And in everybody, it creates some degree of inflammation. It's just if you don't have either the genetic predisposition or the gluten sensitivity where, you know, you're already starting to show some signs of problems, you're going to have inflammation, but you're not going to start noticing the symptoms yet because it's not at the point where those holes in the cheesecloth are so large that the larger molecules, you're still doing the damage, you just don't know it. And
okay.
It really boggles my mind that this is something that could potentially be affecting everybody.
Right. Well, I've read that between the celiac disease, the non-celiac gluten sensitivity, and the wheat allergy, that it affects at least 10% of the population that are at least acknowledging it. And presenting certain signs that it's affecting them.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is, Lynn. It's a case of those are the people who are starting to show some degree of symptoms. Because one thing that Dr. Tom pointed out in this interview, and this was something I've heard sort of in the context, you know, if people know about the memory B cells, you know, when you get vaccinated or you develop immunity and you have those memory cells that remember this, so that, like, you have to get vaccinations if you travel to other countries against diseases, but then if you go back later, you don't need to go through that whole process. You just get your booster shots because we have these memory B cells. Well, the only food that they have that is gluten. It's the only one that those memory B cells have a lifetime antibody. That's the only one so far that they have found that you have a permanent intolerance. So all these other food intolerances that can happen because of the leaky gut caused by the, you know, intestinal permeability and the damage to the cheesecloth, as it were, all of those seem to be something that you can repair and heal, that it's not permanent. You know, you might have to give it up for a time, heal your leaky gut, but then you can go back to eating, you know, eggs potentially, or tomatoes, or, you know, whatever you've developed an allergy or sensitivity to. But gluten makes lifelong antibodies in those memory B cells. Mm-hmm. And so you can't ever, quote unquote, cure it. It's not going to go away. And this is new to me. This was something I just learned today.
This is interesting, because, and it's actually quite sad, because I know that wheat has, I mean, it has things like selenium and great qualities to it. So do you think that it's more the fact that we have eaten too much of it, and then we've doctored it up? And I'm just throwing ideas out there, because, you know, wheat in and of itself is, it's got good things too.
Yeah, and I think it's a combination of those things. I think it is that, you know, because they say you can develop an allergy to any food if you eat it too frequently and, you know, you don't get enough variety in your diet. And when you think about it, you know, wheat is something that, you know, from the time we're kids, we have cereal or a Pop-Tart or donuts or waffles or pancakes or whatever for breakfast. And we have sandwiches for lunch, you know. So
The refined, you know, I mean, one of the cheapest things that a person can buy at the store is a 5-pound bag of white flour that's been ground to nothing.
Yeah. And not only that, that's the case where they've removed all those vitamins and good things that you were talking about that wheat has. And part of it is, if you look at William Davis' work, the author of Wheat Belly, he goes into tremendous detail as to how insane the changes have become in wheat. You know, the newer varieties, because wheat is different from, like humans, all humans with occasional very rare exceptions have the same number of chromosomes. Different varieties of wheat can contain different numbers of chromosomes. Well, if we haven't adapted to that, because, you know, grains agriculture is fairly recent in our history, you know, we haven't necessarily adapted to those changes yet. And then it hasn't been quote unquote genetically modified, but it has been modified. This is not your grandma's wheat, and it certainly isn't your great 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 grandma's wheat. This is so changed. It's been chemically changed. It's been crossbred and hybridized within an inch of its life. And so, yeah, those changes are also part of the problem. Now wheat at harvest time is sprayed with glyphosate, which, yep, you know, the WHO has declared a probable carcinogen. And that's solely for, you know, profit purposes. It kills the wheat, and, you know, but it's still in the food, and, you know, that glyphosate can possibly cause greater intestinal permeability. So there have been changes. I don't think anybody's going to argue that it's a healthy food anymore. And as you say, that's unfortunate, because, you know, at one point we could eat wheat and we weren't all having these problems.
Right. I frequently tell people this is not Jesus wheat anymore.
No.
You know, because
no.
They break the bread at the Last Supper, and it's like, this is not the same food.
And no, the wheat that's older than that, the truly ancestral wheat, had 14 chromosomes, and the emmer wheat, which is the biblical wheat that you're talking about, that had 28 chromosomes, and then the Middle Ages, the triticum wheat, was 42 chromosomes, and that was before they started doing all the chemical tampering, and now we have this semi-dwarf wheat, which has a higher gluten content. Because, the higher gluten content processors like, because it gives it a longer shelf life. It takes less time for the bread to rise, so they can produce things more quickly. And so, you know, we're not changing it to improve our health. You know, we're not improving the health profile. And it's unfortunate because, it used to be, you know, a healthy food, at least for a lot of people.
Yep. So if people do eat it, what kinds of things, because people go, I eat it all the time, I don't have anything happening to me. What kind of things would they be looking for as far as
That's the really, really tricky question, because a lot of people say, oh, but I eat it all the time and I don't get an upset stomach. Well, maybe 1 in 8 people who have symptoms get digestive symptoms. The other 7, it can be neurological symptoms, it can be mental health systems, it can affect fertility, it can affect your skin. People can get certain kinds of dermatitis or psoriasis. They can get symptoms that are either are Alzheimer's or are similar to Alzheimer's. Schizophrenia, there have been studies where they have taken schizophrenic patients, they've put them on a gluten-free diet, they improve. Dr. David Perlmutter's book, Grain Brain, he referred to a case, a woman who suffered with mental illness for over 50 years. They put her on a gluten-free diet, and within months, her symptoms were gone. So there are just so many things that it can affect. Osteoporosis, that one, I was just like, are you kidding me? And it can affect... It can affect virtually any system, and a lot of people think that part of that is the autoimmune issue. Because, of course, you know, with autoimmunity, it depends on what it looks like to your body, what tissues are going to be attacked. ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. In Dr. Tom's gluten practitioner training, he has some cases where there was a study and there was a patient who, you know, had all these symptoms of Lou Gehrig's disease. He had lesions in his brain, and sometimes these lesions go away on gluten-free diet. So it's unbelievable the amount of symptoms, and people think of it as just a digestive disease. And with celiac disease, yes, absolutely, because it's the total villus atrophy. The villi are completely worn down in the small intestine, but that's the end stage. That's celiac disease.
Right.
And you can be doing damage. Dr. Tom O'Brien talks about, you know, everything being a chain with your health. And wherever your weak link is, that's where it's going to hit you. That's his take on it. So
that
if that's
sense.
Your brain, yeah. I'm sorry. What?
No, you're fine. I'm just sitting here listening and making notes and trying to keep my dog quiet. The interesting thing, because you were talking about skin, I have had a rash on my arm for years, and nobody could figure out what it was, and just through my own experimentation on my body, realized it was from gluten, because if I eat gluten, it just flares. If I don't, you know, it goes away.
Yeah, people... people get arthritis symptoms like that. The interview that I was watching today was done by Dr. Pedram Shojai, and he was saying that in his case, he didn't think he had a problem, and then all of a sudden he made a connection that he would have gluten, and he would notice like swelling in his joints or, you know, joint issues that hadn't bothered him for a while, and then when he, you know, got gluten out of his diet, sure enough, they went away. So it's just, it's really, I don't even have a word. I really don't. The English major is wordless, you know?
For people who are English majors and we can't find words for them, you know.
You know we're in trouble. It's just really unbelievable. And there are, you know, you can go to a lot of different sources and they'll, you know, start showing you the different symptoms and you realize that, you know, it could manifest as anything. You know, behavioral disorders like ADD and ADHD, you know, they take kids off of weed and they go to school and the teacher says, oh, wow, so you got that prescription for Ritalin.
And my grandson is on the autism spectrum, and when I find that he's acting up more or having more of those symptoms is when he has had, especially at school at lunch, you know, they'll have you know, sandwiches or something along that line, and he just gets a little more out of control.
They had a study with, I think it was 100 and some kids who had like ADHD symptoms, and either the parents or the kids in every case noted improvements in like all 12 markers, like, you know, blurting out in class or can't sit still, all those different markers. They noticed improvement like in every one on, you know, a gluten-free diet. So it just... You know, and I know that a lot of people have a lot of theories that, you know, it's mercury, it's glyphosate, it's gluten. But you know what? If it could be gluten and that's working to take it out of the diet, it's not something you need in your diet. So why not just take it out?
Right. Well, and if it's causing that issue, The idea is to make sure we bring it to light with people that this is something to consider. I was also reading about, because I was reading in relation to my grandson, you were talking about that oral issue, that if they eat too much wheat products or gluten, that their mouth becomes real selective towards it, and then they won't eat anything else because it's so bland. And so if we don't give them that extra sensory perception of different foods and spices, that all they'll do is stuff their mouth with bread and pasta and noodles and things like that.
Well, and there are... There are also people who argue that especially the gliadin in the gluten is addictive in the literal sense, you know, creating those gluteomorphins, you know, those opiates that make us feel good. And, you know, that's a theory for why it's so hard for a lot of people to give up the gluten, that they say, oh, but, you know, I can't. It's, you know, my comfort food. And And then they have withdrawal symptoms and they feel really crappy. So they go, well, this isn't making me feel better. This is making me feel worse. Yeah, that's called withdrawal. You know, you're taking your feel-good brain chemicals away, you know. And I mean, I get it. I've been gluten-free for, you know, a decade and a half now. And, you know, when you first try to get used to it, I'm at least – one of those people that if somebody tells me this is going to be really good for me, I will at least try it. You know, I'm going to do that because I want to be healthy. And, you know, that was just when the whole gluten-free marketing was really kicking into gear. But right. there wasn't as much high quality stuff. It was, and I know you know this because, yeah. you know, as students of Dr. Rita Marie, we know about those blood sugar triggers, and some of the worst ones are the most common ingredients in these processed gluten-free foods. You know, your potato starch, your tapioca starch, your rice flour, yep. you know, this is not good stuff. And I think that's part of the problem with all the, you know, gluten controversy and all today, because let's face it, if we're recommending that people go gluten-free and they go to the grocery store and they're buying gluten-free Oreos, you know, we're not doing them a service, you know, and it's sure it's easier. And I'm not going to blame somebody for doing that, because if this is new to you and you're still trying to find your way, I'd rather you at least eat the gluten-free Oreos than the regular Oreos. But right. a stepping stone.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Think of it as a transition, you know,
right.
and it is hard. You know, it's something that we've grown up with. I mean, the first thing you usually do is go, what am I going to have for breakfast? You know, because we have cereal, we have toast, we have pancakes, we have muffins,
yep.
you know,
yep.
it's all wheat. So yep. I empathize with people, and I'm, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, well, you know, you need to, you know, do this and do that. If you've got to start with baby steps, and you've got to start with, you know, some of the gluten-free processed stuff, just be mindful, be aware, think of it as a step. But, you know, by all means, you know, get away from the gluten, because you've got to, if they're finding out, if this is really, really true, that even people who have no symptoms are damaging their gut, you know, if you don't heal the gut, you know this, because Dr. Rita Marie talks about this all the time, you know, healing the gut is the first thing. We've got to heal the gut. And with
right.
autoimmunity, it's especially important if you're triggering that inflammation that eventually leads to one of those autoimmune disorders, you know, you're going to end up with intestinal permeability down the line, and you've got to heal that before you can get to the root.
Right. And that's going to affect, like you said, your blood sugar, as well as your adrenal glands and your thyroid and your...
Yeah.
And everything in there. I had thought I'd read at one point in time, there's also a type of alcohol that's created when you eat wheat through the digestive process. And I could be wrong, but I thought that was part of its opioid.
Okay, I'm going to have to look into that, because that's not something I've come across yet, but it definitely sounds like something that would be worth exploring, because, you know, if that's the case, that can be another problem why, A, it's problematic in the gut, but also another reason why it may be hard for people to, you know, deal with the issues, because, yeah, that would be huge. I mean, one of the things that blew my mind that I came across just today, it's from a study earlier this year, but the thing that freaked me out was Dr. Tom O'Brien referred to this study that the FDA did on, you know, almost 300 gluten-free foods, some of which were labeled gluten-free and others were considered naturally gluten-free. And the ones that were labeled gluten-free, actually 97.3% of them were gluten-free, but the ones that were, quote, naturally gluten-free, almost 25% contained toxic levels of gluten.
So
and I just went...
Gluten-free.
Well, they don't necessarily, like, they're not labeled, you know, gluten-free. They're just things that allegedly don't contain gluten, like, say, something like quinoa.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, it doesn't say gluten-free, but it's considered a naturally gluten-free food.
Right.
Well, he didn't go into specifics, so I don't know if it was something specific like quinoa, although that can be a cross-reactive food with gluten. So who knows? Because all of the grains, and of course, quinoa is not technically a grain, it's considered
right.
a seed, although grains are the seeds of grasses. So to me, that's yeah. kind of maybe semantics. But, you know, gluten is in all the grains, but it's not necessarily problematic in most people don't have problems with the gluten in rice, you know, for example. And some people yeah. don't have problems even with the gluten in spelt, which is an older form of wheat.
Right.
But the gluten is there in all of them. And so, I mean, it could be cross-contamination, it could be, you know, who knows what, because oats, you know, you probably know it has to be certified gluten-free because it's so often processed on
right.
the same equipment, and you have the issue of cross-contamination, which may not harm somebody with sensitivity, but could definitely harm somebody with celiac disease. So,
right.
you know, the cross-contamination is a huge issue, and the cross-reactivity can be a big issue, and part of that can be just the fact that we start over-consuming some of these foods that we substitute, which is why some people, I think, don't immediately recommend going on a gluten-free diet, because people go out there and go, oh, well, okay, I can eat quinoa, and they start eating quinoa at every meal.
Right.
And then, you know, then they're going to develop a problem with quinoa. And, of course, if you didn't grow up eating quinoa, your body may not recognize that anyway. It may go, what is this new food? You know, what is this thing? Is this dangerous? Should I be worried? And you may or may not activate a response, and that's why they've got so many different tests now, you know, not just testing for gluten.
Right, but the cross-reactivity test. So that
yeah.
was my next question is, so if you, let's say you are having some joint pains or some skin irritations or another thing that started happening to me, and one way I found out that something inadvertently had gluten is I would get bowel problems. And so if you suspect that you have a gluten problem, what would you do or what would you suggest people do to find out for sure, to test?
Well, it really depends on the person because, you know, some people recommend testing, some people don't. Testing is really good if you're, like, currently eating gluten. One of the issues with the testing is if you've already taken gluten out of your diet, most careful practitioners aren't going to say, oh, yes, by all means, reintroduce it so you can be tested to see if you're allergic. But the problem is if you're never tested for, like, celiac disease or things like that and you just remove the gluten, you don't know how much of a problem it might cause if you do get inadvertently exposed. So testing is certainly the best idea. And now, unfortunately, in the state in which I live, I personally cannot order certain tests, but I have been assured by my colleagues at Dr. Tom O'Brien's website, thedoctor.com, thedr.com, that they will work with people if their doctors will not order the gold standard Cyrex Labs tests at the website. They have assured me that they will work with people to make sure they get the tests they need. There are tests for gluten. There's one array that is wheat, gluten, sensitivity, and autoimmunity, which tests for multiple different peptides, not just the gliadin, because there uh-huh. are maybe as many as 100 different components that in the wheat that could cause a reaction, and so it tests for more than just the known gliadin. Because some people may be sensitive to the gliadin, but some people might be sensitive to something else, and so they're going to get a false negative. And that's
right.
why Cyrex is considered, you know, one of the, because they have developed many tests For different things. And so that's why they're considered the gold standard. I mean, Dr. Vojdani, who, you know, is associated with that lab, is one of the big names in the autoimmune and gluten research. They have an array that tests for gluten-associated sensitivity and cross-reactive foods. That tests 24 different foods. It tests for cross-reactivity. It tests foods that you've newly introduced into your diet or maybe have overconsumed. And that's, you know, that can happen when your body mistakes some other food for gluten. You've removed the gluten from your diet, but you're still having symptoms. So that's a good one for that. There's one that tests for autoimmune disorders and intestinal permeability, and it tests for tissue damage for several different organs. And that array, array 5, it can actually pick up something 10 years before you've got a clinical autoimmune disease onset. Yeah, so you have an opportunity to, you know, stop it in its tracks or maybe even reverse it. And then there's a larger array that covers multiple foods. And what's amazing about this one, now it's a several hundred dollar test, but it tests 180 different foods, including raw and cooked foods, the way you eat it. And it includes stuff like gums, like, you know, your guar gum and the, you know, these additives and the meat glue. And so it tests a lot of the different proteins that can cross-react with our tissues. And all of these different arrays have different prices, and I know that that can be an issue for people because I'm sure insurance doesn't cover these. But if you really are having issues and you're really struggling, I would recommend going to the website, you know, getting in touch with them and letting them do what they can to help you, because it's the best way to know for sure. I mean, I've never been tested. I'm seriously considering one of these cross-reactivity tests because I think I'm having something that's giving me gluten-like symptoms, and I suspect that I am sensitive to something else, and I feel like I need to know what. I'm just trying to figure out which test would be the right one for me. But, you know, at this point, I'm not going to do a gluten test because I've been gluten-free for so many years. I know what it does to my body. I am not going to reintroduce it just to formally find out. And if you have eliminated it, I wouldn't recommend that because you can, you know, every exposure you have can be causing inflammation, and it does not have to be a large exposure. So I understand if people don't want to test for that, but there are other tests that can tell you if you have other things, you know, besides just gluten. So, you know, it's, I mean, if you don't have the money and you just want to eliminate it and see if you feel better, then great, I'll support you in doing that. But please be very careful about inadvertent exposure.
Right.
You know, because, it, you know, a lot of people do better if they have the proof.
Yeah, when you see, when you get your blood test done or any other test and you're looking at it, it's not something that you can say, well, just in case, it's, or I, you know, I don't know for sure. So just this one little bit is not going to hurt me. But when you're faced with reality, then it also gives you fuel because you can tell people, look, I've got this gluten sensitivity thing going on here. Here's the proof. I cannot eat that birthday cake. And so people are more willing to back you up or support you with that.
Yeah, because, you know, because that's one of the things that's hard is that social aspect. And like you said, if you've got a test that you can say, you know, please don't try forcing these foods on me because, look, here, I do have this, you know, black and white printed document. I can't eat this.
Right.
You know, because the social aspect is difficult, and I, you know, I empathize with people. I'm one of those people that I don't necessarily care if I go somewhere and I just say, you know, no, sorry, the birthday cake looks delicious. I can't eat that. I don't have a problem with that. But some people, you know, they're not comfortable, and I, you know, I empathize with that because it's, when it's something that you've grown up with and you think, you know, your grandma made you cookies or my grandmother happened to make the best, you know, from scratch pie crust in the world, you know, and oh my God, you know, this is like the best ever. And, you know, we all grow up with that, right? The homemade macaroni and cheese, you know, we all grew up with that. And, you know, and the first of all, the processed stuff doesn't taste the same. I mean, we all know this. And there are ways around it. I think it's harder when you're vegan because there are so many recipes for gluten-free stuff on paleo sites, but of course they use eggs and things like that. But fortunately, you know, Dr. Rita Marie has, what, like a gazillion recipes?
Yep. She has, you can make bread. She's got a audio-visual set called Drive Me Down to Heaven. Some free resources on being gluten-free. It's called Gluten-Free Resources. If you go to drritamarie.com/gluten-free, she's got articles and audio. She's got recipes for breakfast pastries, blueberry muffins, bread, tacos.
And she's really on the cutting edge with that, Lynn, because a lot of, you know, vegan training, they still focus a lot on things like soy and whole wheat, you know, pastry flour and things like that. And, you know, they're not necessarily addressing this. And, you know, that's why it's really good that she's providing this because, you know, not a lot of people are. You know, you're better off if you go to either, like, if you're not vegan, you can go to the paleo sites. And if you are vegan, you're better off looking at some of the raw vegan recipes because, you know, by definition, you know, you can't eat grains raw. So if it's a raw recipe, you know, you can make some amazing crusts just with, like, nuts, coconut, and a couple of dates just to hold it together.
Yeah, she has so many different resources. And if you are a member of the Vital Community, you've got 3 years. Actually, as of the end of June, it was 3 years. So she has over 3 years worth of Vital Healing Kitchen shows. And the very first show she ever did was called Gourmet and Gluten Free. And she made these amazing cheese seed crackers. And she showed how you could use zucchini to make noodles and just different sauces. And it was, I know this because I went to it. and I have put out the recipe guides and have made them for probably a couple of years now. She has brownies that are amazing.
And I think they use kale, don't they?
She has one that uses kale, and she's got an amazing amount of recipes and resources there. And I was going to say, when you're looking up Cyrex, if you're looking up those labs, if you are in Dr. Rita Marie's community, she's got a place called Lab Testing on your website. And that will give you the Cyrex test to choose from. But it's listed under, if you just go to a website, it's under ALCAT.com.
Right.
And you can find those resources on there. You know, it's really important that the other thing that's important to understand why we stress so much that 100% gluten-free all the time consistently is because it takes at least 6 months for those antibodies to remotely leave your system. And that means not a one. And I know Dr. O'Brien has that video he does that where he tells that story where he was working with a woman that swore up and down she was 100% gluten-free, but things just weren't the same. And in questioning her, found out she was a nun.
Yes.
And, you know, just that little bit.
Exactly. And another thing he points out is that you start noticing improvement like within days, but it, as you pointed out, you do not really clear all those antibodies for months, maybe even a year. And, you know, it can take an eighth of a thumbnail is all the exposure you need to trigger that inflammation. And if you've ever heard him with his marvelous little description of the mouse traps on the football field,
yes.
And they're all set with ping pong balls, and you stand on the sideline of the football field and you pop the ping pong ball and it hits one trap, and now pop, you've got two in the air, and then they hit two and it's pop, pop, and then it's pop, 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 pop. And every time you expose yourself to gluten, you start that inflammatory cascade. And it's only going to be a matter of time. And, you know, maybe you'll die of something else before you ever get to that point. Who knows? But in my case, I don't want to risk it.
What kind of life do you want? Do you want a life where you're fighting the inflammation? Or do you want
exactly.
a life where you're going smoothly? You don't have digestive problems. You have clear memory. You don't have belly fat. That's the kind of life I want.
And I have noticed, like I said, I've been gluten-free for like 15 years now. And when I first went gluten-free, the first thing I noticed is, I like most of us, I ate the standard American diet until I was in my 30s. And I went constantly flipping between constipation, diarrhea, as so many people do. And I always had, what they call the nervous stomach. You'd get butterflies in your stomach and it would immediately go to your stomach and, oh my gosh, I have to run to the toilet. And, well, the amazing thing happened. I eliminated gluten. I still got nervous. I still got butterflies in my stomach. But I didn't have to run to the bathroom. And it was like, wait. So it's not nerves. It's, you're still nervous, but it's not the nerves that may be upsetting your stomach.
Yeah.
It's something in the food. And, the blood type diet is much maligned, but I'm telling you, the general consensus seems to be if you're type O and you follow the blood type diet, one of the first things they do is pull you off gluten. My naturopath put me on that diet, and I have not looked back since.
Well, and what it comes down to, no matter what any study says or what an expert says, if you feel good, if you truly, truly feel good and your tests come back, and that's what really counts in my book is, what kind of life am I living? Am I living a life where I'm stuck inside because I don't know what's going to happen with my digestion or I'm forgetting things or... all these different things that it can present itself as, then, that's the result. And that's what this is about.
And as Dr. Tom points out, what's your weak link? It might be your brain. In your case, it can be your skin. In my case, it is my digestion. But, it's going to depend on what your genetic weak link is, what your genetic predisposition is, because you've got your genetic predisposition, and then you have that environmental trigger, whatever that is, and then you've got your intestinal permeability, you've got your leaky gut, and boom, you've got autoimmune. So you've got to make sure you heal that gut first. And, I know I'm singing to the choir with that one because everybody who knows Dr. Rita Marie knows that she is always, always talking about you've got to heal that gut. And, it's not her. It's you need to heal the gut.
Right. This is a case in point because if you know about protein, this gliadin that's going to be creating these antibodies, that you could end up with autoimmune diseases like a hypothyroidism or type 1 diabetes. That's foundational. You don't just treat the hypothyroidism or the diabetes. You start with your nutrition. And if you know that you're going to, because like you said, it can attack other tissues. Well, your heart is your tissue.
Now they're
heart attack.
Because guess what? Now they're suggesting that atherosclerosis may be an autoimmune process. So if cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death, that means that autoimmune is the leading cause of death. So,
well,
you know,
there's that part of it, too, with the different cancers.
Yeah.
So it's a really, you know, it is easy to say. It's easy, just give up gluten. It's, in practice, it's not. But if you know that you have this huge support system here of people who understand and will give you ideas to help you through that, this is the way to go.
Whether
you participate, like in our year-long energy research coaching program, or you one of her other programs, or if you have a group in your community, you know, maybe you have a gluten-free meetup, and you guys get together and see what amazing foods. I go to potlucks at church. Boy, gosh. I remember the first time I brought my raw vegan lasagna, you know, people are looking at you. And then after a while, they're like, can I have a bite? Well, now I have to bring, like, quadruple the amount. it's always gone. And so, and my superfood brownie from Dr. Rita Marie went before the other baked brownie, so that tells you something, too.
I mean, it really helps if you have, you know, guidance. And we have, you know, we can't eat the gluten-containing stuff that other people make. So we'll always say, well, let us bring something and you can try it. And you know what? Most of the time people are like, this is really good. And they're like, you know, how did you make it? What did you put in it? And it's like, you know, it does take a little work and searching out and finding, you know, what works best for you. But it's worth it because, oh my gosh, it's just, there are so many problems that gluten could be the cause of that it's just not worth risking. And there are so many available resources now, and it's not just gluten-free processed junk. I mean, there are, you know, wheat-free flours that are not made from tapioca starch. You know, you can use almond flour. You can use coconut flour. Just make sure you add more liquid or cut it with something else, or you're going to have something very dry. But you learn these things, and there are resources.
Right. And what it comes down to, I think we were talking earlier, Michael Pollan said, eat real food.
Fresh. Mostly plants.
Mostly plants.
Not too
right.
much. Yeah,
too
yeah.
Much.
Yeah, he even has it on the cover of one of his books. You know, and I always get the last two backwards, but it's true. It's like eat real foods, you know, mostly plants, mostly plant food, just not with gluten in it. You know, make sure it's not got gluten in it, and then not too much. So, it's and like you said, it is easier said than done. It's easier to say than it is, you know, because we're surrounded by junk.
Right.
You know,
well,
but
then we're that's where you get into the whole emotional eating, because we're always so busy. And what's the easiest thing to do? Go through drive-through and not trust that it's gluten-free. I did want to pause a second and let people know, if you do have questions that you'd like to ask Diane and you're on the web, the number is 424-243-9555, and then press 1 on your telephone keypad. That will raise your hand and we'll know that you have a question. If you are on the web but you'd rather just type it in, there's a chat at the bottom of the screen, and just type it in. I'll see it and then make sure your question is asked. And that being said, where did they go? Somebody had their hand up. And then they just put it down. Well, if you have a question, go ahead, press 1 on your telephone keypad. There they go. All right. Hello, 646. Area code.
Yes.
Hi.
Two questions about sites that were mentioned. One was, it sounded like thedoctor.com or doctor.com, where it was being spoken about the different arrays of testing. That was one site. And then, Lynn, you mentioned It was either owlcat.com or owlcap.com.
Yes, it's Alcat, A-L-C-A-T as in Thomas. And Dr. Tom's website is theder.com. And so the food intolerance test is A-L-C-A-T as in Tom.com.
Okay, this has been a very enlightening show, and I just wanted to thank you.
Oh,
you're welcome. Quite welcome. It's been
anything
a lot of fun.
Okay. Any other questions?
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
No, I'm done.
Okay. Bye. Okay, anybody else have any questions or clarifications that we can give them? That's because you did such an excellent job.
I was just going to say, wow, we must have been good. Oh, my goodness.
I just think, like I said, it's really important that people understand that, because there's a lot of information out there, and not all of it, there will be some that's conflicting. And for myself, I encourage you to read things with an open mind and really dig deep into the science, because this is your body that you're talking about, and it affects the way you live your life, the thoughts you think, your emotions, because our emotions are oftentimes just ways we present things from the way our body processes things. And so when you have something gluten that can affect your thinking to where you might, like you said, be schizophrenic.
Thing, if I could add one thing to that, is with all the different tests, now the Cyrex arrays are pretty comprehensive, but there are other tests that can be done, and there can be a lot of false negatives for a lot of reasons, and even if they're real negatives, if you feel better, like you said, listening to your body, if you feel better by taking the gluten out, don't listen if you're going to a doctor and they say, oh, it's all in your head, there's nothing wrong with you, you don't have a sensitivity, you don't have an issue, you're fine. If you don't feel fine and you feel better taking it out of your diet, then listen to yourself, because you know yourself best.
Right. And actually, it is all in your head. And your head is telling you, I don't feel well, you know?
Exactly. It's your vagus nerve connecting your brain to your digestion.
Exactly.
So it is.
Exactly.
It is in your head.
It
but
in
the
head.
Good way. In
it
the good way. Well, it could be affecting your brain, so there you go. But I couldn't agree with you more. The most important thing you can do, absolutely 100%, is listen to what your body is telling you.
Yep. Yep. And like you said at the beginning of the show, when it comes to things that we eat that we're not adapted to eat and digest, wheat and the gluten protein, and that's the top of the list. There probably are some other things, but it doesn't mean that wheat is the bad guy. It means eating too much wheat is the bad guy, unfortunately, because we're presenting things we've already been inflamed. And so you just can't eat it, is what it comes down to. Eat good food, real fresh food. Bottom line.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
Now, do you have any resources for yourself that we could point our listening audience to?
We certainly do. My website is www.dsquaredwellness.com, and that's all one word, D Squared Wellness, D-S-Q-U-A-R-E-D, wellness.com. It is my sister and myself have that website, and we have put, pardon?
That's Diaz and Diane.
Yes, D
right.
as in Diane, And or Deborah, but yes, but D squared because it's Diane and Deborah, and we have a few different PDF documents if people want to opt into our list. We have recently added one that is 10 gluten gotchas. So we made sure to get a new gluten one up. I have to give a shout out to my sister Deborah because she handles all the tech stuff. You know, I create the content and she makes it look nice and gets it all up there for folks. And we have a few other PDFs, one of which is a few smoothie recipes that are, of course, all gluten-free. We have a few new recipes also in the gluten document. We have some live it tips because we don't believe in a diet. We believe in a live it, as you said, living your life. And I think we also have, yes, my little 12-step diet cult detox little document, which is sort of tongue-in-cheek, but sort of not actually. So if people are, you know, falling under the, oh, I have to do this because the experts say and that sort of thing. So we have a few nifty little goodies and we definitely wanted to make sure we got a specific gluten one up because I am getting so much interest in that subject. So, you know, we felt it was important and timely. So, you know, we wanted to provide that for people. So, you know, and of course, if people are in some of Rita Marie's Facebook groups, I'm like you, Lynn. I'm always hanging around there doing stuff. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So, one more time, it's www.dasindianesquaredwellness.com. dasindianesquaredwellness.com.
Yep.
And
D squared wellness.
Resources and maybe read some of your fascinating blog and
yes, I do try to blog weekly and.
Yep.
I've been keeping a daily journal of a program that I'm trying, and I'm in Steph Jackson's program, who has been a guest on Dr. Rita Marie's show. It's amazing what I'm learning there, and I have become the somebody called me the gluten guru. So I'm in there spouting off about gluten. You know, apparently I just cannot stop talking about gluten. So there you go.
Well, that's
but if it helps, and there's so much confusion out there, Lynn, if we can do anything to help.
Right. And so we are here. We've given you some great resources, but the bottom line is listen to yourself. Just take that time. Why am I making this choice? And listen to yourself and honor yourself by making the right choice for your body. It's the difference between doing what is right and doing what is right for you.
Yeah.
And that's really important.
Yes.
So with that, I want to thank you very much. I truly, truly appreciate all that you've offered. I've learned things. And so again, if anybody wants to contact Diane, it's dsquaredwellness.com. And with that, I thank you for attending our radio show today, that Vital Health Solutions radio show. Next week, Dr. Rita Marie will be back, and she'll be speaking with a holistic endocrinologist from New York. And so I encourage you to come back and learn more, because they're far and few between. And so thank you once again. And we'll see you later.
All right. Thank you, Lynn.
You're welcome. And bye.
Bye.